Welcome to the United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is the show that brings you 26 different stories around Southwest Michigan in 26 weeks, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Want to know more about the work of the United Way? Visit uwsm.org.
Welcome to United Way's 26 at 6. Tonight we'll be talking about the United Way allocation process. And we have some great guests joining us in the studio this evening. But first, I want to welcome back Rachel Wade, the Vice President of Impact and Development at United Way of Southwest Michigan. Welcome back, Rachel.
Hello, Anna.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I see you all the time.
I know.
But it's nice to have you here.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here.
I know who you are. But I think
you probably know way more about who I am than you want to.
And I will not share those things.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But I want to, you know, I always like to start the show off with, let's get to know who we're talking to. So can you just give a little bit of background of where you came from, kind of what got you here and, you know, what got you to United Way?
Sure. So I've been with United Way of Southwest Michigan for 10 years.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
So exciting.
Half of the time that I've been there.
A whole decade of my life at United Way, but it's been awesome. What brought me to United Way was really my belief that kind of we're all put here on this earth to help make life better for other people. And through a series of different career decisions, eventually ended up at United Way 10 years ago, working with the Great Start Collaborative.
That's right, yeah.
And have now, through the years, transitioned into the position that I'm in now. I love my job. I love the work that we do. I love the people in the organization. I love the people at our funded partners, our volunteers out in the community. It's been a tremendous learning opportunity for me to learn things about this community that I just never knew before.
You, when you started, you had you have a bachelor's from where?
Western.
I know.
Go Broncos.
I know. I just wanted you to say that. And then since then, though, you've gone on and gotten a master's in
administration from Central.
I know. Say it.
I know.
It's all right.
I call myself a Broncoa. I'm half Bronco, half Chippewa, but the Bronco piece goes first.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. So the degree is in, say that again?
Administration.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, understanding how the organization works from the HR side to the finance side to the business side to the strategy side, really just kind of understanding how you administer everything to make a strong organization.
Which really puts you in a great position at United Way as the Vice President of Impact and Development and the strategy piece of the work that we do, trying to align those pieces of work so that we can always be better at telling our story and be better at the planning behind it.
Absolutely.
And one of those pieces, and it's interesting because when I started at United Way, this was part of my job was what we called the allocation process. But it has expanded and evolved over the years. And so talk to us about what that is and kind of where that process was when you came in and where it is today.
Yeah, so we have a 3-year funding cycle at United Way. And 2018 began our fourth of those 3-year cycles. So it's been really fun to see from 2009 to 2018 how that process has evolved, as you said. We have a 3-year funding process, and so we make the majority of our financial commitments on a 3-year basis. So we're talking about making big change in the community, improving third grade reading, reducing obesity, addressing some basic needs issues, increasing financial stability, and those aren't quick fixes.
Right.
And so we need to make longer term commitments in order to support that work to actually make those big changes happen. And so the 3-year process was really, I think, an important part of doing that, of saying, hey, we're going to make this commitment to you for 3 years. You do need to report back to us in the midst of that, but you don't have to worry about reapplying for the money every year. What you need to worry about is doing the work.
So when I remember we were funding on a year-to-year basis, and we weren't doing really, we had what was called an accreditation process where we were bringing organizations in and we would take them through binder fulls of questions. And
thank you for not making us do that anymore.
And I think we still have some of those binders in the basement, you know, because I don't know how long to keep stuff, you know. And it was early in our CEO's role at United Way Worldwide that said we need to be doing our business differently. And that was really when the whole thought around impact, community impact. And so our organization said, we need to glom onto that because we want to be part of that network and we want to be part of the bigger change. And so we started down that impact path. And I think the first real big change was we need to go to three-year funding, but we also needed to work with our organizations on what an outcome was and how to do evaluation. And so when we come back in just a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and I am talking with Rachel Wade from United Way. So we worked with the organizations to bring about change in their organizations on how to write outcomes, how to evaluate. We moved to 3 years funding cycles. And then we birthed this agenda, if you want to call it. It's an agenda for change. Talk about that. Talk about what led us to that, what that means, what it means today.
It's so interesting that you use the word birth, because it usually takes us about 9 months mm-hmm. to create an agenda right. for change. The agenda for change is really the document that guides our work, that it says, these are the goals we want to accomplish. These are the strategies that we believe will help us achieve those goals. These are the outcomes that align with those strategies, that align with those goals. And these are the types of investments that we want to make.
So it's like a roadmap
for the next 3 years. Exactly. And as I said, it takes about 9 months to put that document together. We have a committee of our board, our impact cabinet. They help us create that agenda. We look at community trends. We look at data. We look at all different kinds of input. We look at other United Ways across our network. Who's doing what? What's working really well? What are some of the best practices? All that kind of technical stuff that most people think is really boring, but that just absolutely gets my motor
right,
running.
Right.
To say, okay, if we want to create these big kinds of change in our community, what are the investments we need to make in order to make that happen? So our current agenda has three components to it. So we have our impact areas: education, income, health, basic needs. And then in each of those impact areas, we have three components. The first is we want to change lives. That's programs, right? Individual programs that are helping people graduate from high school or become more financially stable or learn how to read, whatever it may be. So we want to change lives. We also want to build stronger communities. We want to invest in infrastructure, which, again, is super boring for most people. But if you don't have infrastructure, systems, policies, and environments that support these programmatic changes, you can teach someone to make healthy choices all they want. But if they don't have access right. to healthy food or physical activity opportunities, they're not going to stick with those changes. So we have to build stronger communities. The third component of what we do is we mobilize resources. So we invest dollars. We convene volunteers, and we also coordinate thought power. Like, how are we getting people together to have some of these big conversations about what needs to happen to make change happen? So our agenda for change is built around those three components: change lives, build stronger communities, mobilize resources.
And tonight we're going to talk with some folks about the allocation process. That's the delivery mechanism of our funding.
Yeah.
I just said what it was, but give us a little bit more insight into what that allocation process looks like.
Well, so in the 10 years that I've been at United Way, Anna, you've really been intentional about building this culture that we have to be, what's your phrase? I'm seeing if you know what it is. Good stewards of the donor
good
dollar.
Steward, yes.
Right? That's like
I have
every,
a few phrases, so yeah. I was confused there.
Things absolutely critical is one of them.
Yeah.
And good stewards
yeah.
of the donor dollar is another one.
And make sure that you come to my office with an idea, not an excuse.
Yeah.
So,
and you okay. want to give us tools and resources.
Yes.
Anyway, I digress. So we feel very strongly that the money that people contribute to United Way is not our money.
Right.
It's the community's money that they have entrusted to us in order to create maximum change in our community. So the allocation process is built around getting the community involved in that process. we have investment teams, we have our impact cabinet, we have our board. When all is said and done, we've had over 100 people involved.
Wow, that's
in making those funding decisions. Because let's face it, could you and I sit in a room and say how much money goes where? Sure, we
could.
Well,
we could,
but that's not the point.
Right, and that
the point is we need the community voice to say, this is what we believe is important, and this is where United Way needs to invest the resources that the community has invested in United Way.
Wow, that is awesome. And see how fast those segments go?
I know.
We could talk for a while.
Oh, get me talking about process, and I don't want to stop.
You're going to stick around. We may have you on in one of the other segments. But at this point, I want to thank Rachel for joining us this evening. And when we come back, I'll be welcoming in Josh Cosner, one of our superstar volunteers from Kinexus. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to the show. I'm excited to welcome in Josh Cosner from Kinexus, but I want to continue with Rachel Wade for just a moment. We were just starting to talk about volunteers for the process, the allocation process. Why is it good for that we have volunteers, and why is it good for the community?
Yeah, so I mentioned that it's, you know, it's the community's money that we're making these decisions on behalf of. But in terms of the volunteers, we have over 60 people serving on our investment teams. And every 3 years at the end of an investment process, they all sit back and say, oh my gosh, I learned so much. I learned so much about things happening in my community that I never knew about. These amazing programs that exist to help people, or truly what the needs are. You learn a lot about what the needs are for people in your community that you just have no idea that those needs exist, because it's not part of your personal experience. And so you don't realize what other people are up against it and what they're struggling with. One of the cool things about Josh from Kinexus being on our investment teams is he works for one of our funded partners.
Right, right.
And so he can help provide that perspective of what it's really like for the agencies. But for volunteers, for organizations who might want to seek United Way funding at some point, it's really great to serve on an investment team now and learn what the process is and learn what is going to be expected of you if you want to receive United Way money. It's been a great learning opportunity for several organizations in that respect.
Well, and we also encourage our staff, our team, to participate in those investment teams so that they understand the process in case they're ever asked questions or, I mean, it's, and because it's not everyone's everyday work.
Exactly.
And so it kind of gets them out of their box. And you know, at United Way, we are a little bit cross-functional there, and we need to know what's going on.
Yep.
How many, you mentioned that at one time we had 100 volunteers mm-hmm. kind of looking at this, being a part of the process in some way, shape, or form. How many hours is that?
Yeah, in terms of this entire process of making the funding decisions, it's over 1,000 hours. Between the folks who sit on our investment teams, who sit on our committees, our board, things like that, from the meetings that they sit through, the presentations, the work they have to do in terms of reading all of this information, it's over 1,000 hours, which is just, it blows my mind.
But it is incredibly important work to be done.
I think it's one of the most important things we do in our organization.
Well, thank you, Rachel Wade. I have with us Josh Cosner, who is one of those investment team volunteers. But first, I'd like to get to know who Josh is, and I think our audience would like to know who you are. So talk a little bit about who you are, where you came from, what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So I promise you'll hold it against me.
No.
All right. All right.
Nope.
But I am from Ohio. I know that's a four-letter word
sometimes.
Oh, yes.
That's a
problem. But so I'm originally from Ohio. I usually say born, raised, and educated, although that can be debated.
The educated part or the born part?
The educated part.
Okay. All right.
So I graduated from Ohio University. That was about 10 years ago. And I've been in the in or around the community ever since. So I've got a background in IT. My wife and I live in North Benton Harbor, so we're pretty active and involved in the community.
And you are working for Kinexus.
Correct.
What is your role at Kinexus?
Yeah, so that's a loaded question. But currently, I am the CIO and the VP of Finance.
What is a CIO?
Sounds like
a CIA thing.
Well, maybe a little bit espionage. No, it's the technology part. So I lead all the technology team and as well as the financial part. So been doing that for going on 9 years.
And your role as a United Way volunteer is on the investment team. What investment team are you on?
Yep, I'm on the health one.
Okay. Yep. And what does an investment team do?
Well, generally, as Rachel alluded to, we're the ones who look at the applications and decide who gets funding. That's really the kind of the long and short of it. It really all goes back and aligns to the agenda for change, so that it's very strategic in the different focus areas. So it starts all the way back for the agenda for change, and then the applicants put in their applications to align to those. The investment team community comes together multiple times to make sure that to review the applications, see what aligns, to allocate the funding. And then once the funding is allocated, about every 6 months, we're the ones that go in and check up, make recommendations to make sure that those are on track.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and we're talking with Josh Costner from Kinexus, who is also a investment team volunteer for United Way and the allocation process that we have. You know, I know that you volunteer for other things out in the community because we've crossed paths at that time. Why is volunteering important to you?
Well, that's something I've struggled with answering usually whenever somebody asks me that. And I think it really goes back to an innate thing that it's like kind of feel it in your gut that it's one of those things that you feel like you need to give back. You know, I didn't grow up affluent by any means, but I always had what I needed. So I feel very fortunate in what I've been able to accomplish and what I've been able to do and been able to help others. So it's more of an innate thing, a kind of like a be excellent to each other, Bill and Ted kind of thing. So that's kind of why I think I volunteer.
So I think we have the blessing of having both you and your wife.
That's correct.
On the same investment team?
We are.
Oh, so why do you think that was important for the two of you to do this together?
Yeah, so it is. It's a good opportunity to do things mutually. And it's kind of funny how we do them independently. We do our assessments independently and come together and kind of compare notes and talk about, what we learned about the programs and, recommendations and things we picked up and all that kind of stuff. And it's often that we both come to the same conclusion, but have completely different paths in how we get there. And I think that's based on the experiences that we have. And I think that's the good thing about the investment committees is that you have the diverse experiences. You have people from nonprofits, from finance, from government, from, the secular community and the general business community. So you get a lot of different mindsets and get a lot of different viewpoints on the same issue. And it gets a more robust and better product at the end.
So I know, like I said, I know that you volunteer on some other things. Does your wife do other volunteer work outside of the investment team?
A little bit, yeah. She works some with other United Way events primarily, and she helps me at the emergency shelter as well.
Yep. All right. And why do you think it's important for volunteers to be a part of the allocation process or the allocation cycle?
Yeah, I mean, that's really your voice in the community, right? And I don't know exactly how many funded partners United Way has. I want to say it's about 40, right? About 40.
Yes, that is.
Around,
it's correct. It's
around 40 funded partners. And they're, again, all walks, all different kind of sectors and doing a different thing. So it's really your opportunity to impact in those areas. And people have different passions. I'm passionate about kind of the whole broad spectrum. But if you're passionate about people's health, I mean, a health committee is a really good way to get involved. If you're wanting to get involved in families and communities, the basic needs or the income are really good to get into. So it's a good opportunity to impact your community in a direct and indirect way, because sometimes people have different preferences when they're volunteering. Some like to be hands-on, some like to be on the back end, don't like any of the recognition. And this is a good way to kind of do both. Because as Rachel alluded to, there's a lot of things going on in our community that you may not know of, because if you don't use them or you don't know anyone that has used them, you may not even know they exist. So it's a real eye-opener to what is available.
So did you choose health or did we choose it for you?
I was recruited, actually, from a former health investment member, and I just happened to land on that. So, and again, I didn't have any preference in terms of what group that I was involved in, so I was glad to get into the health.
Well, and I think Kinexus is funded through a couple, maybe a couple of the other areas, and so we, you know, that would be a little bit of a conflict if you were making the decision on your own funding. And I want to make that point very clear, is that when we do recruit volunteers, we do a thorough check to see where some of their volunteer work is and their affiliations are, because we want to make sure that they're not making decisions on things that they're a part of, or because we do have agency directors on some of these investment teams as well, and they're not making decisions on their own funding.
Yeah, health was actually the only option for Josh because Kinexus is funded in education and income, and he's the board chair of an organization that gets funding in basic needs. So health was the only option for him. So we're glad it worked out that way.
So, yeah, you picked it for me.
Well, there you go. Well, you do amazing work. Thank you for the work that you do in the community through your volunteer work, Kinexus, the emergency shelter, and for us and your wife as well. Yeah. So I want to thank Josh for joining us this evening. Again, thank Rachel Wade for being with us again. When we return, we'll continue our conversation on the United Way allocation cycle. So don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to tonight's show. Tonight we're talking about the United Way allocation process, and I'm excited to welcome in Amber Grundy from Campfire River Bend. Welcome, Amber. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you here. So I like to get to know, I'd like our audience to get to know who I'm talking with. So I want to know kind of where you came from, what got you here, you know, and then we'll talk a little bit about what Campfire River Bend is and what you do for them. But how'd you get here?
Sure. So I grew up in the Campfire program. I started as a participant in our programs when I was 5 years old. And have basically spent most of my life involved with Campfire. So I was a camper at our summer camp, and I was a member of our club program. And I worked at our camp when I was in high school and college. And then I took a few years away from the organization while I was doing a graduate degree and joined the board. Okay. So while I was doing my graduate degree, I couldn't work at camp in the summers. And I thought, well, I can at least volunteer and be involved in some way. So I joined the board, and one night at a board meeting, our camp director resigned.
I went home
to my husband and I said, what do you think about filling in as the camp director for just this one summer? And now here we are 13 years later.
Wow.
And I'm still working for the organization. I'm now the executive director for our larger organization, which is Campfire.
Okay. And your education path, what is that?
Yes. So I have a PhD in developmental psychology.
Okay.
And had intended to work in academia. And ended up leaving academia to work at camp and then became the executive director for a nonprofit.
All right. So let's talk about what Camp River is.
Yes, Campfire.
Did I just say Camp River? I did. I'm sorry. What is Campfire River Bend?
Yes.
I knew there was a river in there.
So Campfire is a national youth development organization. There are about 50 councils across the country. And Campfire River Bend is one of those 50 councils. We serve the Northern Indiana and Southwest Michigan area. And we provide a couple of different programs in the community. So we have our summer camp, which is called Camp Tonaduna. And at Camp Tonaduna, we serve roughly 900 kids each summer.
Wow.
And then we have our after school program, which is a new program for us that just started about a year ago. And right now we have two locations for our after school program.
So I want to go back to the camp.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
Camp Tonaduna.
Okay. Don't ask me to spell that because I won't be able to. And it is a summer program and you have 900 kids.
Yes. So we serve about 900 kids over the course of 8 weeks.
Where are those kids coming from?
All over the place. So roughly 50 to 60% of our kids come from the Southwest Michigan, Northern Indiana, Michiana area. And then about 25% of them come from the Chicago and Chicago suburbs. And the other 20% or so come from all over the world. Last summer, we had kids from 6 different countries and 17
wow.
different states.
So a lot of diversity
yes.
at that camp. Where is the camp located?
We're in Vandalia, Michigan in Cass County.
Oh, just a little lovely little town of Vandalia.
Little tiny town, yes.
Ah, that's awesome. So, okay, so let's talk about what Campfire After School is.
Yes. So our Campfire After School program, we started about a year ago this fall. We started with one site and then we expanded to a second site in January. Our second site is at Sam Adams Elementary in Cassopolis, and that's the program that's being funded by United Way.
Okay.
So our after-school program provides a place for kids to go every day after school from the end of the school day until their parents get off of work. So we run until 6 p.m. each day. We not only provide a safe place for them to go, but we provide a curriculum that gives kids support for the things that they're doing during the school day each day. So we try to work with the school to make sure that what we're doing in our program is fitting in with the curriculum that they're providing during school so that we're supporting kids' reading skills and helping them with their math or their science. At Cassopolis, they've just recently implemented a project-based learning curriculum across the district. And so we make sure we incorporate project-based learning into our after-school program so that that's something that the kids are not only getting during school, but they're also getting every day after school.
Wow, that's awesome. The after school program, is that part of the 50 councils around the U.S. or is that something new that you're doing here specifically in Cass County?
It's something that our national organization has been advocating for all of our councils to do. Not everyone has moved in that direction yet, but they ask us to have three pieces to our programming. So they ask us to do outdoor education, outside of school time programs, and environmental ed.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and we are speaking with Amber Grumby from Campfire River Bend. On your website, you mentioned that your after-school programs incorporate Campfire's Thrivology principles. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So Campfire worked with the Thrive Institute for Youth to develop something called Thrivology. And the idea is that all of our programs use this framework. It's not a curriculum. It's just a framework for structuring our curriculum that we develop ourselves. And there are four key components to it. So the idea is that we're helping kids thrive by helping them find their sparks, which fits nicely with the Campfire name. So their sparks are the things that they're passionate about that make them excited. So we try to provide a wide variety of activities and opportunities for the kids to develop those sparks, to figure out what they get excited about. So we might have a lesson plan on cooking, or we might do an outdoor education day, or we might do build your own roller coaster out of a collection of random objects.
That would be cool.
To try to find things that get the kids to just light up, and we call those sparks. So the first component of Thrivology is sparks. The second component is helping kids develop a growth mindset. So we want kids to change their mindset from, I can't do this, or I'm not good at this, to I'm not good at this yet, but I can be. And so the growth mindset is all about teaching them that they can improve their skills. They can grow if they get into that mindset that I just have to work hard and I can develop this later. So it's not I'm bad at math. It's I'm not great at math yet, but I can be.
Okay.
The third component of the Thrivology framework is reflection. So we want kids to reflect on their experiences, everything that they do. So we want them to, after they finish an activity, to look back at what went well, what didn't work so well, what would I do differently next time, and really promote a specific amount of time at the end of every activity where they think about how things went and not just jump right on to the next activity. And then our fourth component is developing goal management skills. So we help kids set a goal and then figure out what's the pathway to get to that goal. And then figure out what happens if I get off track along the way. So rather than, shoot, I'm never going to get to my goal because I went off track, it's how do I get back on track, or how do I adapt my goal now that I've gone off track?
So would you be willing to come and teach that process to our staff?
I would love
to.
Because,
I mean, there's some really cool things in there, you know, reflection and the goal process. I think that would be really cool. I'm not saying that our team is our youth. I'm just saying that there's always room for development. There's always room
Absolutely.
For learning. But it's a really cool process. You are your program is new to the United Way family. Why was it important for you to apply for funding with United Way and to become a partner?
Well, mainly because we're a brand new program and we're starting in a district where there's a high proportion of the kids are on free and reduced lunch. And we knew that in order to grow our program, we needed to be able to offer these services to families at a cost that would be reasonable for them. And so in order to get the program up and running and train our staff and get the materials we needed to get the program going, we really needed some assistance to subsidize that program for the first couple years while we kind of get our feet under us and develop our process and our curriculum and our staff.
You might have said this earlier in the segment. How many kids are in the program right now?
On an average day, we have about 15 to 18 kids. Some days are smaller than others, but some days are really big.
Okay. And why is this work so important to you?
I think mainly because this was something that I grew up as a part of, and campfire is so near and dear to my heart. But also because I see the need. There's so many kids that really need a place to go where people support them and people help guide them and give them these opportunities after school every day.
And why is this program important? And you kind of just said it, but reiterate, why is this why is this program important to the community?
Well, there's a big drive to improve third grade reading skills. And we really think that providing kids with a place after school where they can practice their reading, do activities with other kids, and have a supportive adult to help them with that process will really help improve their academic abilities.
Sounds like an excellent program. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it as it grows and continues.
Thank you.
I want to thank Amber Grundy from Campfire River Bend for joining us this evening. And when we return, Hank Bostick from the Disability Network of Southwest Michigan will be joining us to continue our conversation on the United Way allocation process. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the 26 at 6 United Way of Southwest Michigan show that brings you 26 stories in 26 weeks. Now, here's your host, President of the United Way of Southwest Michigan, Anna Murphy.
Welcome back to our show this evening. We are now joined by Hank Bostick from the Disability Network of Southwest Michigan. And our topic this evening is the United Way allocation process. Welcome, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this evening?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
We're going to talk a little bit about the allocation process for United Way, but first I want to get to know who you are. I want our listeners to get to know who you are. So I always like to ask kind of, where did you come from? What's your path? What got you to what you're doing today?
Well, I'm from Southern West Virginia. I've been in Michigan for 5 years, worked for Disability Network the whole time I've been here. The reason I'm here in Michigan is that I started in 2000 volunteering at a camp for adults with traumatic brain injury, and have done that for the past 18 years. It's 1 week each summer. And I met a young lady there that we have just been friends all that time. And after 13 years of being friends, we decided to get married. So
I moved here,
started a new job, and got married the same weekend, and enjoyed here in Michigan.
I'm just beaming. What a great story that is. Where is the camp? So it's in Michigan?
It is. It's okay. In Mayville, Michigan, over in the Thumb area.
Okay. All right. And I'm speechless on that story. How special that is. Let's talk a little bit about what the Disability Network is.
The Disability Network, they are the Center for Independent Living for Southwest Michigan. So it's Disability Network Southwest Michigan.
Okay.
There's other disability networks, of course, around the state. We cover 8 counties. We have the office in St. Joseph that is the office for Berrien and Cass County, and then we have an office in Kalamazoo for our other 6 counties. Disability Network is the first stop for people with disabilities and their families in Southwest Michigan. We want people to know they can come there for information on anything that has to do with the disability, that we can either provide, be a resource for them, or we can refer them out to somebody else for services. We believe that disability issues are best understood by people that experience the disability. So 51% of our board members and staff members state that they have a disability of some kind. Our goal is to help foster a community where people with disabilities are able to participate fully in everyday life and with equal opportunities and self-determination. And our mission is to educate and connect the people with disabilities to resources while advocating for social change. So that's a little bit about the agency itself. Some of the services we provide mm-hmm. are advocacy and education. So we have a disability rights advocate on site. We have the education department, and they go out and do trainings in the communities. They're open to anybody in the community. So we have the information and referral department. They connect people to the community resources. We have a ramp up. It's called the Ramp Up Program, which helps people with accessibility into their homes building ramps. And that is done by volunteers. So there's a lot of groups, usually churches right now, that get together and build a ramp for someone. So we have the volunteers that do that, and it's funded by volunteers from the community as well. We have the independent living services. We assist people with applying for benefits sometimes, different agencies. We can assist with learning what transportation is available to someone, just anything that helps with independent living. We also have the Social Security benefits planning, which I do a lot with. We have transition services for youth and adults. And we have peer support groups. We also have a brain injury support group in Kalamazoo, but we have one in Berrien County, which is called the Divine Divas. And this is a support group open to women with developmental disabilities. This group meets the second Friday of every month from 11 to 1:30 at Riverview Park Christian Church.
Huh.
And anybody interested can call our St. Joseph office and find out more information on that.
So I want to step back for just a second. And what is your role at Disability Network?
I am a disability. I'm a program manager for Independence Living. I do the veterans service coordination, and I'm one of 3 Social Security Disability Work Incentives counselors. My primary area that I cover for benefits planning is the Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties.
All right. We're going to continue our conversation, but if you're just tuning in, you're listening to United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6, and we are talking with Hank Bostick from the Disability Network of Southwest Michigan. United Way is partnering with the Disability Network of Southwest Michigan with funding the Social Security planning piece. Talk a little bit about what that is.
Benefits planning is it's a way that we assist people that are on Social Security disability or SSI and other benefits. If they're interested in going to work, or maybe they're already working and it could even be part-time, we let people know what work incentives are available to them. We provide it in a way that is easily understood. We meet with people face-to-face. We sit down and discuss it and give examples and of how work incentives will assist them. Things that we look at are, like I said, Social Security disability, SSI, Medicare, Medicaid, food assistance, housing, Medicare savings program. So we ask them a lot of questions to make sure that we understand what all benefits they're receiving. And we look into things that may give them other work incentives that otherwise we wouldn't know about, kind of just getting the background on them.
Sure.
The Social Security Administration's policies are pretty hard to understand, but we do a lot of training on that and stay up to date. We're just constantly in training. But we want to make sure people get the correct information. Anybody that's on a disability program has the opportunity to go back to work.
Okay.
And we want to make sure that they understand exactly how benefits would be affected. And again, that in most cases, everybody's going to come out ahead by working.
Is there an age that's associated with the folks that you see? I mean, does a person have to be 55 with a disability, or what's an age range?
Anywhere from 16, 14. Oh. I mean, if they're on SSI, then okay. No matter what age you are, if you work, there'll be some change.
Okay.
So we could meet with somebody that's, you know, younger.
Sure.
And for students, there is an excellent work incentive called the Student Earned Income Exclusion that a lot of people don't know about. And a student can earn over $1,700 a month and still get their full SSI benefit.
And that's a student enrolled in?
Student enrolled full-time in school.
Okay. Can that be high school?
It can be high school.
Or college?
Right. Trade school, anything. Okay. Then in the summers, in between semesters, they count that as still being a full-time student.
Oh,
if they're going back the next semester. They may have to get a schedule from a school or a note from a school saying they're going to be, you know, that they're enrolled for the next semester.
Disability Network is new to the United Way family, if you will, the process. Why was it important for the organization to become a funded partner with United Way?
Well, we value the information we receive from United Way. You are very connected with everyone in the community, and we're kind of new in a way to this part of the state. We've been here for around 9 years, but still have a lot of learning to do on what's available, and we're able to get that information through you. And of course, we did get some funding to help us with our benefits planning, and we are, as a nonprofit, we do need the funding to, you know, to be able to have people here to provide the service.
You have shared an enormous amount of information, some new things that I've learned. Your last thought as we wrap up this segment, why is this work so important to you?
This work is important to me because I was on disability for years, and I use the same work incentives that I tell other people about to help me go back to work. So I know that the work incentives protect your benefits as well as help you to move forward in your life. And for teenagers, I like to be able to tell them that, you know, they can work.
So you're your own story, and I appreciate you. On behalf of United Way of Southwest Michigan, I'd like to thank Hank Bostick from the Disability Network of Southwest Michigan and all of our guests who joined us this evening to talk about the United Way allocation process. United Way fights for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in Southwest Michigan. Thanks for joining the fight.
The United Way of Southwest Michigan's 26 at 6 on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.